Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That is Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today, joining us from Idaho, is foster and adoptive mom, Savannah Hawkins. Savannah and her husband, Nathan, have one biological son, 10-year-old Noah, three children adopted through foster care. Lily is 13, Braxton is 11, and Hayden is 5, if I got that all right. And three sons, Max and Sam, are both 4, and Ivan is 5. They have been adopted from Ukraine, all with Down syndrome, and they are in the process to return to Ukraine any day now to bring home two daughters. Sloan is 4, and Gianna is 3. Both girls have hydrocephaly, both from Ukraine. You are one busy mama. Welcome to the show, Savannah.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited to have you. You are an inspiration, really, and all that God has done in and through your family. But take us back to the beginning of your story. What led you and Nathan to pursue first becoming foster parents and then adopting?
Sure. So growing up, my parents, they opened their foster care license, and they ended up adopting three children, one of them who had special needs, who I'm very close to. And so I knew from a very young age that this was something that I wanted to do as well. And I think it was really placed on my heart at that point that this is where I was called to. So fast forward a while, after being married, my husband and I were told that we would never have children together. And I was broken over this, and I was just devastated. I knew my whole life that I wanted to be a mom, and I was so this concept was super hard for me to grasp. And I'll be the first to admit that I was angry at God, and the one thing that I wanted so badly that he would rob that from me. And so at this point in my life, his no felt so life-ending. So fast forward a while, after we decided to pursue infertility treatments, and we were able to have our son Noah biologically, who you said is 10, and we were unable to have more children after Noah. So we were in this pause moment where we absolutely knew we wanted to have more children, and we were hoping and waiting for what we should do and really wondering what God wanted for us. And it was a few years later, I was on the phone with my sister-in-law, and this was like my aha moment. She said to me, "Why don't you guys do foster care? You guys would be so good at it." And my initial reaction to this was, no way could I love children and send them back to where they came from. And there's no way that I could let my heart be broken more than it already was. But it was the response that I got back from her that really stuck with me that day. And she said, "Do you think these children were brokenhearted when they were ripped away from their families? And what about when they lost everything they have to come into care?" And still this day, I remember that sinking feeling of, you know, my heart can break just a little bit into comparison for these children. And we had so much to give and so much to offer. And so we felt really just pulled down this path. So I really started thinking about this and really felt God leading us down this avenue. And needless to say, within a few months and a bunch of classes later and background checks, and we were licensed foster parents. And then our first placement was our little girl, Braxton. And then about a year later, or maybe about two, her little half-brother came to us. He was a newborn. We adopted him at 1 year old, and he's 5 now. And then we got a little girl named Lily. She was 9 when she came. She was adopted by us at 11, and she's now 13. In the meantime, during all of this, we also welcomed 17 other foster children into our home during all that adoption and whatnot.
Wow.
So that's kind of where we started with the path of foster care and adoption.
That is incredible. So you were fostering all that time. You adopted 3 of the children that had come into your home. At what point did you begin considering adopting internationally?
So at that point, the state says we have too many children in our home because of the law of 6. But I knew that my family was not complete. I knew that we were not done. So I just started researching websites domestically, internationally, whatever it was. I was open to wherever we were, where we needed to be. And I also felt led towards special needs adoption. I think it started with my brother and the impact he made on me. So we really started researching special needs adoption, and I Googled it one day, and the site came up called Reese's Rainbow, and they advocate for special needs orphans overseas. So I started to learn about the orphan crisis and how these children are being shoved away to die. They're being starved and neglected, all because they have special needs, because they're different. And I could not believe for the life of me that we lived in it was the year 2015, that this was happening. Mm. I couldn't believe it, that this world was doing this to these beautiful children. So after a bunch of research and looking into this, all of a sudden, the orphan became so real to me. And I felt like this was exactly where we were supposed to be. And our family was equipped and prepared for this. And I knew it, probably the strongest I ever felt about anything. So that leads me back to, I went back to Reese's Rainbow, the page, and I scrolled down the website one day, and I saw this little picture of this little blue-eyed, blonde-haired baby boy, and he was laying in a metal white crib, and it still makes me emotional talking about it. And I knew from that picture, it sounds so silly, but that picture, I knew he was my son. Mm. And this is when we started the international adoption process.
Wow.
So, and we knew at that point, too, we wanted to adopt, too. Ukraine is great in that way where you can adopt unrelated children. So we got an email about 9 months into the process. It was probably sooner than that. But there was a little boy in his orphanage as well. So we added him to our adoption. So we loaded up and we went to Ukraine and we adopted our 2 sons, Sam and Max.
Wow.
Who both have Down syndrome. And they are both now 4. They were 10 months when we got there for them.
Wow. And so now, Savannah, I just wanted to add, because you had told me a little bit of your story previously. And when you first saw that first picture of the little blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby in the crib, and then you showed that picture to your husband.
Oh, yes.
What was his response?
So he, before all of this, we'd been talking about it, and it really never hit for him. So when I showed him this picture, I printed it out, and he came home from work, and I sat him down, and I showed him this. He just cried. And it was almost like his heart just opened, and he was so ready. And he looked at me, and he said, "Let's go. What do we got to do?" And I was floored, because it was almost just, it was perfect. It was exactly how it had to work out.
Wow. So 2015, you traveled to Ukraine as a family. You adopted Sam and Max, who are now, now they're both 4, correct?
Yes. Yep,
and they both have Down syndrome. And then you heard about another little boy. Tell us about Ivan.
Yeah, so Ivan, he kept popping up on my Facebook feed and advocacy sites. And I kept, saying, "Oh, we'll advocate for him and we'll help find a family." And I even begged a few friends to go get him. I just knew he had to be in a family. But every single time I came back to him, I kept hearing, "He is your son." So we committed to the process again, and we went back 1 year later, and we adopted him. And he was 3 when we got there, and he's 5 now. And he also has Down syndrome.
Wow, that is incredible. So I want our listeners to know that they can check out Reese's Rainbow and view children waiting for their forever family right on this website. It's reesesrainbow.org. And it really puts the face on the child because it makes them real. Like you said, through learning about that, the orphan becomes real. It really puts a face. You can see their faces and you never know what the Lord is going to do in laying a child on your heart. So, Kristen, now you're in the process to travel any day back to Ukraine to adopt two little girls, making that a total of 9 children in your family. So what led you to decide to adopt again?
So I'd say my biggest reason for going again is because I felt the call to go back. And again, I tried to ignore it. And I've really tried to push it away and kept getting this nudge that it was time to go get these two little girls. And then I came across their pictures again, just like the boys. And it's so hard to explain unless you've adopted. But this intense feeling and longing for them. And for me, it was like a feeling of someone's missing. I'd load the kids in the car and I'd count them just to make sure they're there and someone was missing. Or a family picture, I'd say, oh, someone's missing. It's just this feeling you get. And it also kind of leads back to the last time my husband and I were in Ukraine. We left the orphanage one day, and our driver, we were loading up in the car, and our driver's leaving the orphanage grounds. And the children are standing behind the car waving goodbye and yelling, Mama, Papa, and tears just streamed down my husband and I's face. And we knew at that moment that was life-changing, just that simple moment of watching them and all the ones we left behind. So we knew at that moment we could never turn around. And so we vowed that if we were able to adopt again, we would do it. If we were able to advocate, we would advocate. And if we could donate, we would. Wow. Because I think once you've seen the faces of these children lined in cribs in these empty rooms, very sad rooms, you can't unsee that.
Right.
And so once you know what you know, it can't be undone. Yeah. And I think that day God truly broke our hearts for what breaks His. And He does this for good, I think, though, too, is so we will move and act and do something about it.
That's right. So you're parenting 3 children with Down syndrome, and you'll be bringing home 2 with hydrocephaly, plus you have 3 children adopted through foster care, and that comes with various needs due to trauma. How do you handle all of that?
So I get this question a lot, and I think the best way I can answer that is that I feel like God really equips us for what we need. Some people are fabulous at raising, 12, 15 children, whatever it is, with ease, and they make it look like it's, like they're pros. And then some people are good at raising 2 children, and that's totally okay. And I honestly, I don't know what I would do if I only had 1 or 2. I'd go crazy. But in all seriousness, I feel like I was made for this and for these children. And to me, it doesn't feel like it's a lot. And maybe from the outside looking in, it would look like so much to someone else. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there are days when it's hard and there's lots of medical appointments and we need to say lots of extra prayers for patients. But we are so blessed to have the ability to do what we do. And I think really it comes down to God equipping us for this.
Yeah. I think it's funny because you said you don't know what you would do if you only had 1 or 2 children. You'd go crazy.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably listeners out there saying, I have 1 or 2 children, but I'd go crazy if I had like 9. So when God calls, He equips, and He calls us to what He calls us to. And whether your number is 2 or 10, right, then it's what God has. So He equips. I hear you on that for sure. And we'll give Him the glory for that. So how have all of the children adjusted? You have your first son, Noah, and now he's got all these other siblings and then the other children that have come in. How has the adjustment been?
So I've had a few children that adjust, not as well as others, some that do really well, some that are really easygoing. But we have learned to be super patient with their needs and feelings. And as we navigate bringing children in the family that are maybe hard behaviorally or have higher medical needs. But I do feel overall that my kids, have been so good at adapting, and they love so well, and they've been so supportive of each adoption. And I wish that everyone could see the way they're so fierce about one another, and they're protective, and they have this they cheer each other on, and this bond is incredible. And it's crazy to me because they come from all these different backgrounds, cultures, walks of life, but then they're so incredibly bonded. Mm. It's funny how it's worked. It's incredible.
Yeah. And now so many times people rule out international adoption because of the high cost. How have you been able to afford 5 international adoptions?
I think the only way I can answer this is God. I mean, for example, when we stepped out into this adoption, I was so full of fear. I had no idea how we would fund, you know, number 4 and 5 international adoption this time. But every single penny, literally every penny funded from this adoption, has been from strangers, from donations, from successful fundraisers. It's incredible how it's all worked out. Now, I'm not saying that if you jump in, God's just going to hand you $30,000 to go adopt a child. But I do feel that he equips us to be able to work hard for it. Mm. And he'll place opportunities in your way and people in your way that needed to be there to help you. And it never ceases to amaze me that he will quite literally move mountains for the orphans and for his children. And he knew my biggest fear in this is that we wouldn't be able to fund this because, I mean, that's huge. That's a huge amount of money. Mm. But yet it's happened 3 times over these 5 children. It's a miracle, honestly.
3 fully funded adoptions. Now, you've done fundraising. What other ways has the funding come in?
There's fundraising. There's grants. We've gotten so many generous donations from people. And there's also on Reese's Rainbow, you have a family sponsorship account where people could donate there. And that's been incredibly, incredibly helpful.
Yeah. So for folks that are saying, I don't think I could do this. I don't think God is calling me to actually adopt. I'd like to help in some way. They could actually go to reesesrainbow.org and scroll through the pictures of children, and you can make a donation towards that child's adoption fund. So then the money is in there, and that money, that grant, goes towards that specific child's adoption. Is that how that works?
Yes. That's exactly how it works. That's correct.
So we encourage our listeners, even if you feel like you're not called or equipped to actually adopt, you can help an orphan to get to their forever family by making a donation and making that possible for that child to have their forever family, pick the child out that you want to sponsor. So that's an incredible way to be able to help that anybody can do. And you can donate any amount, $25, $100, $1,000, whatever really you're so moved to do. All of that money goes into that fund for that child's adoption.
That's right. And that's how we have funded the majority of our adoptions. It's been an incredible blessing having that.
Wonderful. Now, and what about to bring home the girls? Has that been fully funded?
That has been fully funded. This adoption has, yes.
Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah.
So I encourage our listeners to go to reesesrainbow.org and check that out and see what you can do there. So Savannah, what have you learned from walking this journey?
So I think my absolute biggest lesson from all of these years so far in my life, I've learned that that God hears us. And it goes back to when I received that, you know, resounding no, that life-changing no I thought I had to having biological children all those years ago. And I was so angry that God did this to me, but look at what he did instead. He led us down a path to save souls and advocate for orphans, mentor foster children who maybe have left my care, change lives, and even my life has changed, and my children's life. And his plan was so much bigger, and his version of yes was so much better than I could have imagined. So absolutely, my biggest lesson to take away from all of this is that just because his no at that moment is devastating, we have to remember that his plans for us are far, far greater than we know. And one of my, if I can just share one of my favorite scriptures really quick, it's in Jeremiah 29:11, mm-hmm. and I'm sure everyone knows it, but it says, "For the plans I have for you, declareth the Lord, plans to prosper, I know the plans I have for you, declareth the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I love this because he promises us that he has a plan for us. Mm-hmm. And I learned that through all of this, to trust him and to trust that. And we need to fully trust that God only wants what's best for us because, I mean, isn't that in his nature? He is kind and compassionate, and he loves every one of his children, including his orphans. And often, I read this book recently where he talks about, where they talk about trusting him. And so often I catch myself walking through a tough battle saying, "I trust you, Lord," just to remind myself that I know that this mountain I'm walking in, that he has plans for me that are far greater than even I know yet.
Yeah, we think our plans are what we have to have and that are so great and wonderful, and then that no can seem so devastating. But to be able to understand that God has an even better, bigger, greater yes that we can't even imagine.
Yes, every time. Yes.
Yeah. Incredible. So as we wrap up, Savannah, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear today?
So I think I often hear is, "You guys are saints, or you're incredible." But I guess I want people to know the truth is that we are not. We are just typical people, just like everyone else, and that they too can play a role in advocating for these children and for the orphan and for the foster children. And if you can't adopt, that's totally okay, but you can foster, you can advocate, you can offer respite, support a family who's adopting financially, even just being able to lend a helping hand or a listening ear. That is so massive for us adopting families. There's so many ways all of us can help, and I fully believe that as the body of Christ, we have a duty to support these children.
I love that. It's just whatever God calls you to do, and it could be to adopt, it could be to advocate or to foster or to do respite for a weary foster or adoptive family. Definitely prayer, pray for these families, pray for the children. Go to that Reese'sRainbow.org website and make a donation towards a child's adoption. A meal, bring a meal to a family
yes.
that just gets an adoptive placement or a foster placement or just returns home from Ukraine with a couple of children. A meal
yes.
is a huge, huge blessing. So there's something for every one of us to do. And God has a plan, right? And his plans are better and his ways are far greater than we could ever imagine. So good words there, Savannah. How long before you think you'll be traveling to bring the girls home?
We are waiting on the phone call for our travel appointment anytime, literally anytime. So we're hoping within the next few weeks, we'll be headed to Ukraine.
Wow. So hopefully December of 2018, you will be in Ukraine. Our listeners can keep your family in prayer.
Because yes, we would love that.
When they hear this interview, your family, you and your family will probably be in Ukraine working to bring those girls home. And we'll be praying for you. And we know there's a conflict going on there. So we need to keep that in prayer as well. And Ukraine is a place near and dear to my heart because four of my precious children were adopted from Ukraine. And we pray for Ukraine and we love the people. And
absolutely.
It always brings me back there because I was actually in Ukraine for our first adoption throughout the month of December. So I feel like I'm right there with you.
Yes. Absolutely. It's an amazing country.
Yeah, it is. So, Savannah, thank you for opening your heart and your home to children who need a family. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. And thank you so much for letting us shout about these children and letting other people hear our story. It's incredible. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being on the show today. And We encourage our listeners to go to reesesrainbow.org, learn more, see pictures of the children who are waiting. Maybe you could adopt one or two. Maybe you could make a donation towards a child's grant to go towards their adoption. So many, many ways that you can help. And Savannah, we pray for you as you embark on this next adventure, bringing home your girls. And again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, our listeners, for listening to this episode of Orphans No More today. You can find more episodes right on our website at justicefororphansny.org and on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. Everybody loves a good cup of coffee while you're kicking back listening to that podcast. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27, whatever way God calls you. It could be to adopt. It could be to be a foster parent. It could be to make a donation to cover some of the costs for an adoption of a child on Reese's Rainbow. Whatever way God is calling you and touching your heart, walk that out in obedience. Learn more at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.